I find I have a hard time connecting with feelings. This is why I'm in therapy. Yeah. Like, I can connect intellectually, but not emotionally. Like, intellectually, I'm like, it's sad that my dad doesn't call me. It's great that I got to do a special. But emotionally, I never feel it until I get music. Music can put me there.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing.
It really does. It really gets you to, like, yeah, tear up or just fucking, damn, or like, yes. Gets you, like, wild.
Yeah, you can feel those things, and you're like, yeah!
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. It's a music episode with our old friend Joe List. He was first on this show. Where's my frame? A long time ago, we did a podcast in Central Park, New York City, where we talked about his herpes. Herpes, if you don't know, is the disease that strikes only the cool. No one fucked up and lame has any experience with herpes because they fucking suck and they never fuck without condoms when they're drunk and they go, maybe I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to take a chance anyway. You're talking about a guy who's taking chances and who's somehow skated on it. Have I thought that I'm immune from herpes? I have. Like a lot of you, I probably thought that I have predispositions to be immune from herpes. I've never gotten it. And I've taken chances. I've also never even gotten a call saying, hey, Ari, I have herpes. I know we had sex about a year ago. You should get tested. Never even gotten a call. It's crazy. Guys, I'm sidetracked for sure. I'll be in San Antonio, Texas, December 16th to the 18th. Check it out. Tickets at arishaffir.com. So Joe List is on today's episode. Joe List just taped a special, his second self-produced special. In New York City yesterday. It's going to be out in March. He killed. You guys, I'm excited for you to be able to see it. God, I want to talk about the jokes, but then it'll ruin it, so I got to stop myself. There's two things comics want to do. Talk about other people's jokes, and we stop ourselves in that. And then also, when there's any sort of award or release of a comedian that we think sucks, we want to shit on it, but we're unable to because we're going to run into that person. So we're like, hold my tongue. Because like it'd be so much easier if like the music awards present like some fucking awful, no longer relevant musician. And you get to be like, that guy sucks. Why isn't fucking, you know, LCD Sound System nominated for best tour? God damn, they fucking put on a show. By the way, guys, if you ever get a chance, you should go to Brooklyn Steel before their run is done. I saw them in 2018 twice. I saw them in 2021, is that where we're in, twice. They're there four more nights, five more nights. Go see LCD Sound System. If you can get through Dance Yourself Clean without dancing yourself clean, then I don't know what to tell you. I was going to say you're my hero, but you're not. You fucking suck. You should seriously consider ending it all. I'll be in Phoenix and Cleveland in January. When are the dates I'm actually there? I should look this up. Tickets are at arishaffir.com. I just finished my show at the Wilbur Theater. I'm going out of town now. By the time you see this, I will be deep. Bikini Kill is playing. That's cool. It's a music episode, you guys. Me and Joe List, we sat, we talked about music, our favorites, our non-favorites. I got this fucking sweet shirt if you're watching on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube, benefit to you, because I'm going to play some great music on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts and everything like that. January 14th, 15th, and 16th. Martin Luther King Day weekend. Oh, I've been saying it's President's Day weekend. Ah! Hilarities in Cleveland, Ohio, United States Earth. And then the following weekend, January 20th, 21st, 22nd, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, United States Earth. Tickets are at arishafir.com. February, I'll be in Tampa Bay, February 11th, and my birthday, February 12th. And then I'll be in Denver, Colorado, my favorite place to play, probably in the world right now. Is that in Cap City? Cap City closed, so it's Denver. Just February 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. That was my phone, not yours. Sorry about that. Put it on vibrate. Be a professional, Ari. So me and Joe List, we started talking about all the music we've seen, all the music we like, all the fucking fun shit. Dude, music is the best. So far since COVID, well, no. I saw a band, a local band, playing. Oh, the Vines are playing. I'm across the street. Courtney Barnett's playing. February, what does that say? February 6th? Ah, I missed it. Damn it. February 6th, I think, at the Bosch Theater. And should I do ads for fucking other bands? Courtney Barnett's a good band. Saw her twice. Fuck Courtney Barnett. Guys, LCD Sound System's a show. Go to Brooklyn Steel. Scalp tickets, whatever you can. Of course do the drugs you should do. So I'm twice this tour. Oh, hold on one second, actually. I got a bone to pick. I got a bone. The first time I saw LCD Sound System was at Bonnaroo 2016 or something like that. Me and Dan Soder were there in a makeup festival. He was there the year before with his girlfriend that was so fucking annoying. And he goes, I didn't do it right. Oh, Dan Cook's playing April 23rd. Look at this, the Bosch set. Brian Cox, Professor Brian Cox. Who the fuck is that? Doing Horizons. Eckhart Tolle is playing May 7th? Eckhart Tolle, the thinker? I'm sorry. I'm across the street from a fucking venue and I keep fucking looking at all their shit they're doing. We went to see them. Nate Bargatze was still drinking back then, and he was an annoying fucking drunk. Bill Maher, live stand-up tour. You can skip that one. He doesn't work out. What was I going to say? I love the comics who are just famous but don't actually work out. And they're like, that guy's good. Like, he might have been, but if you don't take BP, how are you going to hit a home run? Have some respect for the fucking art form. Anyway, whatever. Nate was drinking. He was fucking annoying as shit. Me and Soda were on Molly, maybe mushrooms also. And we're like, let's check out this band, LCD Sound System. My friends had heard about them. My friends said it was their favorite band. So I was like, I'll check it out. For sure, I'll check it out. At least I'll check it out. Blown away. And I like them better than Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam also played that weekend. Now, some people say, Joe List would say, nah, you were on drugs. That's why you like LCD Sound System better. And that's possible. But I was there with Jeremiah Watkins, known future homosexual. He's not a homosexual right now. He just comes off as Christian, but he's definitely gay. I mean, how can you act like that if you're not? He said, LCD Sound System, he was there, not on drugs for both of them. Also, LCD fucking crushed. Pearl Jam did some political speak. I hate when a band fucking speaks politically. Like, why are you speaking politically, dude? We don't fucking care. We're not here for that. Play your fucking music and shut your fucking mouth. Courtney Barnett, February 6th or 8th at the Bosch Center. Blown away. Man, they had us fucking going. And I was hooked after that. In 2018, I was like, Dan, let's go see them again. We brought Gary Veeder and Michelle Wolf with us. We did whatever we had to do to get in the right mindset. We had a great fucking time. Stayed to the end, walked around the neighborhood until we realized it's not a good neighborhood. Then we went home. The Molly we got was too strong. And we ended up staying up. I stayed up till, I think, 2 p.m. the next day. Veeder, I think, stayed up till 11 a.m. the next day. Yeah, we didn't sleep. It was good Molly. In fairness to Bert Kreischer, that Molly might have been too strong. I just assumed you had done it before. How could you not have done Molly? You're the machine. Anyway. I mean, yeah. It's like if you go to Doug Stanhope and like, you've never done cocaine? And he's like, no, I'm just a drinker. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Now, he has done cocaine. So it stands to reason, a party animal, known as the number one party animal in the world. Ah, let's get sidetracked. Here's what I got a fucking bone to pick. Here's my bone to pick. By the way, I'm going to be in March. I'm going to be in me, Big J Okerson, and Robert Kelly are doing shows in Grand Rapids, Michigan at 20 Monroe Street, live at 20 Monroe at Grand Rapids. And the next, that's March 25th, and then March 26th at the Fillmore in Detroit, Michigan. Tickets go on sale January 5th, pre-sale. I will have the code up at arishafir.com. Use promo code Rogan. Yeah, I couldn't think of a promo code. What, two fats, two Jews? Nah, too long. My agent was like, I don't know. We were just thinking out loud. It's like, Rogan? It was a promo code Rogan? Yeah, so March 25th, 26th. Me, Bobby Kells, and Big J Okerson. Tickets go on sale January 5th at noon, your time. Went back to LCD Sound System with my buddy Dan Soder. And he left before the intermission. And I mean, what? I was like, should we do Molly mushrooms? He goes, no, let's just do an edible. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, we can just do an edible. Because the last time I saw him, I just went on, just smoked weed and got drunk with the two people. And then the next day, I think it was the day after, did Molly mushrooms with some other friends. He left before the intermission. He said he had to take a dump. He said he had to take a wicked dump, so he left. He took his fucking chick and went home. Dan, dude, you're letting McDonald's rule your life. First of all, after the intermission, they do the... let me take my shoes off. They do the fucking... all fucking bangers afterwards. I dare you to not go nuts at Dance Yourself Clean. I dare you. You won't. You'll go nuts. How can you not? I'm putting my hands on the shoulder of the guy in front of me. So we had this fucking seat. We're right in front of like the VIP, right behind the VIP section. So it was cool. Girls could see. But there was a railing there and I could hold onto the railing. Listen, dude, what I like to do at concerts.
Tell me this is recording.
It is. Is that 11:57? Not bad. Is I like to jump up and down. That's white boy. I don't know if it's even white boy. It's my kind of music. I like to go like this. If you want. I like to fucking jump up and down. And I need you to make me do it. And you know who makes me do it? LCD Sound System. Dance Yourself Clean, yeah! Oh, I love it. I love it. I enjoy doing it. But you gotta make me. I'm not just gonna do it over nothing. You gotta fucking make me. And they fucking make me. The beats, they fucking... It's about to be a drop, then it's not, it's a fake drop. Until you're like, your body needs it. And they go, bum, 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 bum. It's just, it's the best. They speak to me. Do you know how embarrassing it is? When they're singing, where are your friends tonight? And I'm like, they're taking a dump. My friends are taking a dump. And my other friends, who I had a spare ticket I couldn't see, fucking Sal was like, I have a cold. Vecchione's like, got spots, sorry. Where are my friends tonight? Being fucking dorks! God damn it! Anyway, I went back. Went back again. Did a little malls. Had a great fucking time. They did, Daft Punk is playing at my house. Ooh. Dude, I love my music. I love live music. And me and Joe List, we talked about live music. By the way, a little quick announcement real quick. Courtney Barnett, she keeps... It's February 8th. Yoga with Ari is coming in January. We got a month-long challenge. It won't be every day. It'll be 3 days a week. I'm going to start on whatever the first day of January is. I think Saturday or Sunday. Start with that, January 1st. I'm going to do every, after that, every Monday, Wednesday and Friday through the whole month. I might record some more in January. And then I'll finish. I'm hoping to finish with a streamed live Yoga with Ari and friends with you guys live that you can do it with me. Let's say noon on the Sunday. That makes sense, right? Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Maybe 1 in... I'll figure it out. We'll announce it on Yoga with Ari. But that's the plan. Yoga with Ari. Get ready. Go to youtube.com/AriShaffir. Subscribe. If you don't want to subscribe to the rest, that's fine. Although you're here. Subscribe just to the Yoga with Ari playlist. And you're going to be fucking golden. I forgot what else I have to tell you. Chicago and Minneapolis are coming in June. I love music. So me and Joe List, we sat at my apartment. By the way, next week, I wanted to do this. We talked about all sorts of things. We talked about going to live music. We talked about White Reaper that we saw together, the last band we saw together, how great they were. We talked about Pearl Jam versus Nirvana. I'm a Nirvana guy. Joe List, one of his favorite, probably his favorite band of all time is Pearl Jam. You know, Nirvana is my Pearl Jam. His Pearl Jam is his Beatles. Nirvana is my Pearl Jam. And we had a great time. You gotta be ready for Joe List's special in March. It'll be on YouTube, available for your watching pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, should we take a quick word from our sponsor? I think we should. Let's take a quick word from our sponsor. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank is brought to you by mind-altering substances known as Delta 8 THC. And the guys who lead the league in getting me fucked up on Delta 8 are 3chi.com. The number 3chi.com. 3chi. It sort of rhymes. They say it rhymes, but guys, it doesn't. 3 rhymes with tree, not chi. But I'll allow it. I get what you're saying, 3chi, but it doesn't. Right. All the products are formulated by a biochemist and made in the USA with a USA-grown hemp. Delta 8, if you don't know, it's a fairly legal version of THC. It's psychoactive. It'll get you fucked up. I liked it for planes right now. I really enjoy it. I'm plane rides. But it's not CBD. If you use your promo code SKEPTIC at checkout, you will receive for free 5% off your order just by association with this podcast. You're about to get that Skeptic Tank bump, 3chi. You gotta be 21 and older to purchase it. You have to be 21 and older to purchase it. If you try to purchase it under 21, that's not allowed. Don't do it. You have to be over 21. So again, go to 3chi.com, number 3chi for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles. Thank you very much, 3chi.com. Now back to the episode. Guys, everybody, check out Joe List's podcast, Tuesdays with Stories, by the way, while I look up the fucking sponsor. It's Liquid IV. They both go great. What you want to do is you want to get fucked up at a concert. Thank you, 3chi. And you want to get... if you're watching on YouTube, I can't use 3chi as a sponsor because YouTube will delete it. They say it's Joe, even though it's federally illegal. So if you're watching YouTube, they're not a sponsor. They're just something I'm talking about someone else being a sponsor of. So you want to do some fun stuff and get kind of fucked up. But then afterwards or during, you want to use Liquid IV. Guys, I get fucked up when I go to music. I mean, you want to go for it. You don't want to be done with the music show and go, I'm kind of tired. I need to go home early and miss the fucking encore at an LCD sound system show. Dude, we haven't been there since 2018. We haven't been there since 2018. You're going to go home early to go take a dump? Shit in your pants, you fuckface. You want to get fucked up, but you don't want to be hungover. You don't want to be hungover. You know what will help you not be hungover? Or fucked up on anything else you're doing? Partying, as they tell me to say. The Avett Brothers, June 2nd. At the Box Center. Liquid IV. Let's see here. Talk about your personal experience of the product. That's just what I did. Yeah, so you take some before you go party. You take some the next day, and you're recovered. I think they say to tell you it's not a hangover cure, but I'm telling you, if you're boozing hard or if you're partying hard, take Liquid IV. It comes in a lot of flavors. Let's take a addition point. Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide. Ah, damn it. Nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off. Oh, that's even better. Guys, yeah, go get them at Walmart. But as a Jew, I'm telling you, 25% off. And you go to liquidiv.com. It's the word liquid. If you can't spell that, I don't want you to listen. IV, it's Greek for I and V, .com. That's the internet. Liquidiv.com. And use a promo code SKEPTIC at checkout. You get 25% off your order. That's the number one savings you'll get for anything, any product that uses me as a sponsor. Oh, shit. 21 minutes. Fuck. The way it works is it hydrates you and fills your shooter full of fucking vitamins and shit. Contains 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than orange, and as much potassium as a banana than an orange. Wow. Wow. Healthier than sugar sports drinks, no artificial flavors and preservatives, less sugar than an apple. Less sugar than an apple? Maybe with non-GMO, vegan. Damn. 25% for anything you order. When you get better hydration today using promo code SKEPTIC at liquidiv.com. Guys, do me a favor. Not only, literally, so when I went the next day, my boyfriend was like, hey, do we have any more of the Liquid IV before we go? That's not for a sponsor read. That's just like, I'm like, oh yeah, they just sent me a box. So we fucking house some fucking sweet ass Liquid IV, mango, or strawberry, one of those two. I forget. I've been doing a lot of stuff. And then the next morning you take more Liquid IV. I'm just telling you how to fucking deal with it so you can go as hard as you want and fucking not have the hangovers. Thank you very much, Liquid IV. Now back to the episode. So guys, that's how you go to a music show. You get fucked up. You enjoy yourself. You rehydrate. However you can. Drink water. Liquid IV. In water. Whatever you can. Get a good night's sleep. Fuck hard. And then you get ready for the next show. Guys, this is a music episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, do you like this? If you're watching on YouTube, I got this fucking sweet mashup shirt. I don't remember who sent it. I looked. I think it was an Instagram sent me a message and said, I'll send you some mashup shirts. This one, Pearl Jam with Nirvana. And then sent me another one. It was like, said Tupac Shakur, and it had the Biggie Smalls logo on it. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic, episode 451. Next week, we go to a studio. The brand new studio is being launched with Emma Willman. This fucking hilarious female comic who is homosexual. Gross. Yeah, she muffs boxes, dude. Please subscribe on YouTube, by the way. Yeah, just hit subscribe right now. It's like right there. Just talk about chicks. Talk about how annoying fucking chicks are. But from the new studio, you'll be excited to see it. I'll be in Dominican Republic when you see this. I'll be gone in another day, and then I'll be on my way to San Antonio. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 451. Nirvana is my Pearl Jam with Joe List. Starts now. Starts now, but I gotta go downstairs and fucking get some shit. Am I off camera? Enjoy! That's it. We're on. We're here.
All right, great.
Yeah. Joe List from the Joe List Factory.
Starting everything is weird.
It is weird. You know what I started doing? Cutting out the first 10 minutes of fucking mindless chatter before I get set with people.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I always think about like tennis. like a tennis match. It's 3 hours, 4 hours. It's epic. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And like, but the first moment of it, it's usually one guy's like, "You ready?"
Oh yeah, it's been, let's hit it back and forth a few times. The volley.
Yeah. That's how it feels. It's yeah. Like, this is going to be 4 days long and epic and amazing, and that'll be brilliant. But
they should not have volley for serve on the CBS broadcast of Wimbledon.
What do you mean? They don't volley for serve.
But, you know, just like volleying around.
Oh, like the warm-up?
Yeah.
The warm-up.
Yeah. Do they show that?
They show them warming up. It's the only sport where you warm up with your opponent, which is interesting.
You think you try to cut their legs out a little bit during the warm-up, make them like reach a little too much for a ball.
Well, it's a gentleman's sport. And also, the guy's like not going to fall for that. Like, if you like hit it over there, he's going to be like, oh, all right. He's like, not like, ah, shit.
My arm
you fucked me. It's a fine sport. Podcasts are always weird. One-on-one particularly is strange.
I did a live one at Skankfest, and I'm like, last week's, and it was like, or 2 weeks ago, and it was like,
three.
Fun. Yeah.
Live ones are great. The live You Know What Dude podcast. Pause this, turn this shit off, go to YouTube and watch the live You Know What Dude from Skankfest. It's insane.
Really?
Well, I particularly liked it because it was like the hardest I've ever killed in my life.
That's
really
nice.
Fun.
Yeah.
But it was so fun. It was like an event. It's wild. It was exciting.
Yeah, I think we need more morning zoo shit on podcasts.
And it's also just like, am I looking at you? Am I looking at them?
There's that too.
And we're sitting here in a room. You and I are talking, but we realize we're talking to 80,000 people or 8,000 people, however many people.
Yeah.
It's fucking
bizarre. I think the time of like, maybe the time of like, hey, let's really investigate this thing in our lives, that part's over because we can't have that conversation. Like, we've had real conversations in real life where we talk about any subject or friends, you know. It's like, you can't do that publicly. You can't.
Right.
No way.
Yeah, it's weird. And also, we were talking about this before, but I'm like, I want to do two podcasts a month, two episodes of any podcast, 2 hours.
Yeah.
I am not smart. And then you get all these people being like, you fucking moron. I'm like, I know. You keep listening
obviously.
To me. I don't know why you're listening to me. I don't do anything. I'm an idiot.
That's what Rogan always is like, why are you coming to work? I'm still a comedian. You know I'm a comedian, right? Why are you coming to me with your fucking COVID advice?
I'm fascinated by the Rogan thing. I understand because he has such a huge following, so he's influential.
Yeah.
But it's like, people get all upset. I'm like, yes, Joe Rogan. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
He's like, he's a comic. He's a guy. He's like a fight comic
guy. He has a bit about
guy.
His pubes turning gray.
I'm like,
what?
But I understand the counter argument. He's like, he has 8 million people. They follow him. They probably have sycophants. They'll do whatever he says.
I know, but this is what I always see, like show, like comics who'd have shows and then they suddenly get bigger and then they get like less funny and they want to tackle real subjects. Because I think people get through to their heads where like, you have a responsibility.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, to keep being funny.
Yeah, it's a lot. No, well, I get it. I'm like, I remember watching like a Pete Seeger documentary, which is it's great and it's inspiring, and you're like, I gotta make a difference.
Yeah.
And then you're like, but that's not what I am. I'm like, I make a difference by like, hey, you're bummed out.
Yeah,
you listen to this for
exactly,
an hour.
Exactly.
You have a nice time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I'm not gonna be marching and being like, we gotta shut down the power plant. I'm like, that's not who I am. I don't know.
They had some, I saw something on who went to the, it was oh yeah. Working for the man, not working for the coal mine. Damn it.
Working for the man.
No, it was the outlaw, some guy, some
Josie
country
Wales?
Guy. He always wore a hat, like a cowboy hat.
Well, wear
doesn't
hats.
Really, yeah, it doesn't really narrow it down.
Merrill Haggard?
No.
But oh, Chris Christopherson.
No, he was like an outlaw. That was his persona. Jackson or something. The company Dime.
Company Dime.
No, what companies? No.
Oh, I don't know. Johnny Cash, Merrill Haggard, the other guy, Waylon Jennings?
Maybe.
Are you looking it up? I thought you were petting the dog.
It's Doors song.
Country, Willie Nelson.
No, that's Johnny Cash. God damn, 16 tons. Tennessee Ernie Ford. It wasn't him. Fucking shit, fuck.
Who cares?
Who cares? But he showed up at a fucking rally. Fucking, you know, one of those like protests for the workers. And
yeah.
They all went nuts and they like, then they were about to resign and then go harder. We can't really do that with jokes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you go to like a picket line and be like, hey, like Jay Leno used to bring coffee to people or something.
That's
the
nice.
Writers, you can be like, hey, I'm with it. But it's, we always talk about this and I don't want to get into the whole thing. All these conversations end up in the same place.
We'll steer it clear. We're both pretty obvious. We're both pretty strong. I'm like, I hate doing that.
But I think comedians should get. You get two serious tweets a year. That's my policy. You get two.
That's my business English teacher said that about exclamation points.
Oh.
You get two a year.
A year?
Yeah.
Again, exclamation points with comedy podcasts. It's like 50 an episode.
Yeah, I've got your like, list
what?
On.
That's crazy.
It's the stories, guys. You wore a New Balance shirt.
My father's gay.
New Balance shirt.
But yeah, two serious statements. And I'll just say this and we'll move on. But we've talked about this off air. If you're a comedian who's going to go serious, you should have to renounce your comedianism. You should say, I'm no longer a comedian. I'm now a journalist.
Uh-huh. Or like, you know, when the cop takes his badge off and be like, just mano-a-mano now.
Right.
You want to start a fight? You have to be like, hey, guys, I'm not saying this as a comedian.
Yeah, because you fuck it up for the comedians.
It's fucking up for everybody.
Because now comedians are making statements instead of jokes because of you.
Yeah, and then when you make a joke, people are like, are you serious? You're like, no.
No, I'm not serious.
I'm not serious.
I'm kidding.
I think the moon is a daytime thing and not the sun. And you're like, that's obviously wrong. Like, ugh, goodbye. Yes.
That's a great bit, though.
Maybe.
It's that old Rory Scovel bit.
What?
When the moon is out during the day. You know that bit?
Oh, no. What is it?
Oh, it's a great bit.
Oh.
He's like, do you think the sun is like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm day. You're night.
I never go on your time.
And the moon's like, all right, I'll get out of here. And he's like, no. Everyone's already seen you. We'll look like idiots.
We'll be out together.
It's funny. There's two great moon jokes. That's one of a great moon joke. And then the other one was Jake Johansson's moon joke. And I talk about this all the time about how I hope we never meet intelligent life from another planet.
Yeah.
Because we're embarrassing. We can only go to the moon. If they met and if they talked to us, communicated with us, and they wanted to meet, we'd have to be like, "All right, you wanna do this on the moon?" And then the aliens are like, "What? The moon sucks."
There's nothing
there. Like, "No, the moon is good." He's like, "Moon's really cool."
Moon's good. That sounds like a Seinfeld episode.
It's very funny.
Moon's good. Moon's great. Underrated moon.
We'd have to just convince them that the moon is great.
It's all about craters. Oh, you gotta get outdoors, man.
It's a really funny idea of having a party on the moon. Everyone's in the suits, and we're like,
eh? "Pass that beer." Like, oh, shit. I can't drink it.
Funny bit. Funny comic.
What other shows have you been doing lately?
Me? What?
Mm.
I'm going to a show tonight.
I just saw a guy. Who are you going to see tonight?
Delta Spirit and Deer Tick.
Deer Tick, I remember them.
Yeah, they're like a rock. I'm more of a Delta Spirit guy, but Deer Tick's good too. They cover Nirvana sometimes. They'll do whole shows called Deervana, and they just play Nirvana songs.
I kind of love that. For the live experience, I mean, I know you want their songs, but like when like Flaming Lips does Dark Side.
I got a story about that. I just had that. I just went to the Wallflowers 2 weeks ago, which was great, and they kicked ass, and Jacob Dylan sounded great, the band sounded great, and then for the ironic, but like everyone knows One Headlight and Sixth Avenue Heartache. The rest of the songs are good. It's quality music.
But nobody knows.
But no one like goes crazy. Just a few people singing along. And then they do the encore. They play The Waiting by Tom Petty and I Fought the Law, the Clash song, well, the Clash cover. And everyone goes nuts. You feel bad because it's like the most crazy everybody went the whole time. And then after that, they do one more of their own, and everyone's like, ah.
That's me and Nate went to see Chainsmokers. I was sober that month, so we were.
Chainsmokers sober. Jesus.
I know. And everyone there was like, you want some favorites? Like, I got recognized. Like, you want some candy? And I'm like, it's October and I can't. And they're like, oh, they're like, you're here sober? But they're wearing like, they have pacifier rings and stuff. Like, what are
I'd
you
break
doing?
My sobriety if I had to watch the Chainsmokers.
Yeah, but Nate kept going, like, all they're doing is other people's music sped up a little. Just montage of good songs they didn't write.
I love Nate's. Nate's never been a big music guy.
Anti-music.
I told you he did. I love the story. He went, who was the guy that died? He owned everything. He was really a billionaire. Paul or something.
Yeah, Paul.
What was his name?
Paul Zeiss.
Ron Paul. Jake Paul. Paul Simon. Whatever the guy's name was. He owned some basketball team. You know who I'm talking about, right? He was an Apple guy. But he died.
Oh, yeah, Paul Allen.
Paul Allen.
Bam!
So Nate got invited to perform on Paul Allen's ship, like this huge cruise ship. And like Stevie Wonder was on, I think like some other big star, and a country musician, Brian Wilson, I think was there. And Nate was like telling me, he's like, I guess like evidently Stevie Wonder's like amazing. I was like, he's like, all the musicians were saying, he's like the great, I guess, like he was kind of telling me, like, I got some inside information that Stevie Wonder
is this new guy Stevie Wonder is
like is held in high regard. And I'm like, no, I know about Stevie Wonder. It was really funny. It'd be like if I was like talking to a basketball fan, I'm like, evidently like LeBron is like fantastic.
Oh my god,
he's special, I guess. That's what I was told. Can I drink some of that? I didn't realize it was already brewed.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be off my tits on tea.
You want me to it's green tea.
That's what I'm drinking.
I saw somebody with a Delta. I'm sorry. I
just Delta Spirit? That was me.
Yeah. No, the one you took me to. White Reaper.
Oh, White Reaper.
With the White Reaper shirt on.
Yes.
At the park. And I was like, White Reaper, they fucking rock in concert, dude. He goes, I've never seen them live. Or he goes, it's been a few years. I'm like, yeah, it's been a few years for everybody, bro. It doesn't mean they don't rock.
Oh, they kick ass.
They kick ass.
Delta Spirit tonight. Delta Spirit kicks ass. I'm very excited.
They. Why don't I get invites for this? For these things.
Normally you do, but I mean, you want to go? You can go tonight.
I think I'm going to see Chappelle's movie thing at Madison Square Garden.
That sounds terrible. At Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, he's in 12 theaters.
But you do get invites. White Ripper, you couldn't go to last time, remember? You were my go-to.
Yeah, but then
you
Band of Horses is one of my favorite bands.
Well, Band of Horses, what happened with Band of Horses? Well, Mark was talking about how I'll go, and I mentioned it. He wants to go. He's never been to a show. Yeah. Also, you could do some research. I hate these people that don't look into things.
What site do you use for music?
I'm on all their email list. I get it.
Yeah, so Bowery Ballroom that has like five places. That's yes. A good one.
And then the Brooklyn Made and Brooklyn Steel.
Brooklyn Steel's part of Bowery, isn't it?
Maybe.
I think they're part of it.
But Brooklyn Steel is the new one that's
it used to be
great.
Bands in Town was the best one. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, hey, you know all the people in your MP3s or anyone similar to anyone in your MP3s? Here, they're coming.
But for the record, I did just invite you to Dr. Dog in Philly. You can't go.
I can't go.
And then I invited you to White Reaper, and you couldn't go. And we went to White Reaper before together.
Joe,
so that's quite a few invites.
Joe, let me stop you right there. I'll take back what I said.
Thank you. I mean, there's a lot of invites.
Hey, Joe, thank you for the consistent invites to music.
By the way, December 5th, you're probably out of town. We're having our little Christmas get-together at the apartment.
Oh, I might be here.
All right. Well, you don't have to look it up now. I mean,
okay. Good point. Good point. Not quality entertainment.
I love a book collection. You guys have a nice... Is this set up nice?
Yeah, we're doing as best we can.
For a shitty place. Yeah.
For a shitty place,
in a bad neighborhood. By the way, a bad neighborhood, I mean like a crummy neighborhood. Yeah. It's not a bad neighborhood.
Dude, we went to Flaming Lips at Brooklyn Steel, and it reminded me that I went with like a couple other people sober.
Can't help but notice I didn't get an invite. Yeah. Which camera do I look at for like the office
She'll
take?
Find it. She'll find it. A solid turn is the best one, though. It's anywhere you can like, you know.
I can't believe you have three phones.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a one percenter.
Mm. Yeah, me too, I think.
Yeah.
1% is like $40 a year. It's like crazy how low it is.
It's like, it's got to be broken down more than that because you're like, look at all these millionaires and billionaires. Like, no. No, no, no.
It's crazy. No, like making
1%
like,
goes into like, you make like 120 grand a year.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And then to be 1% of the world, you got to make like 35 grand or something.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Then we're definitely 1%ers.
In the planet. Wow. We're also like, I always talk about this. We're like top 2% of basketball players in the planet.
No, on the planet.
Right?
Wait, people who play basketball?
Of all the people, just counting all the people in the world, who's the best at basketball? We're in the top 2%.
Yeah.
Maybe 1%.
Yeah. I could probably, let's just continue with that. I could probably be, with a week of rules training, top 50% in cricket.
Top 50%? No, you're already in the top 50%.
Well, I've never played cricket.
Right, but think about how many fat pigs can't even get their shoes on
above. Right. Children.
I mean, like if we went to India right now, like we're playing a pickup cricket game. This is how the rules work.
You'd think
better than everybody you know. Go through a seller lineup and tell me who do you think there would be better at any.
But if you go world,
thing.
No. If you go world though, you have to assume everyone who has ever played cricket is better than us.
I don't know.
You think, okay.
A lot of them are 75 years old. A lot of them are fat, diabetic. They've lost limbs. They never had limbs.
Do you think if we're like, hey, one day we're going down and watch cricket, right? You and I go to Goa, India for the yoga. And then we watch a cricket game. And then it's 4 days. And then the next 4 days, you're like, hey, you want to play? And you're like, sure, I'll play a one day game. So now I've practiced a little bit. And then we took some batter box sessions for like an hour. The day after that, we're all getting picked up. Pickup game, India cricket. Do we get picked last and second to last? You're saying,
if they're cricket people or just random people off the street? Because I'm an athlete. I mean, I've played years of baseball, so it's not like I'm coming in blind.
Right.
Like you throw a ball, it bounces. You swing a fucking stick at it.
Like,
and
I'm better than your
easier
dad
than baseball.
In baseball and basketball.
Yes.
Wow,
but it's a flat stick.
Right,
so
right.
I'm like, I was an excellent baseball player, still very good at softball. A flat fucking bat. I'll fucking hammer the thing. And then catching is just catching. I know I have hand eye. I understand how to get to a ball and catch it.
Yeah.
I know how to run. I'm a very fast runner. I mean, I feel like without any of the rule shit, I'd just go and be all right.
My friend started playing golf and he was like, yeah, I'm terrible. I'm shooting like in the low 60s for nine. I can't play more than nine holes. And he was like, but I'm like, do you ever get one of those shots where you're like a long putt, like a 20-foot putt? And he was like, yeah. And then I'm like, you're as good as any pro golfer in the world on that shot.
Well, that's the thing is like when you're an athletic person, Like, I've never had one golf lesson. I'm pretty good. I'll par a hole here and there, a couple bogeys.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them are, I pick my ball up because I suck.
Yeah.
But.
Still, you did it.
I'm better than, like, most people. Think of all the people over 60. I'm better than anyone over 60 outside of the PGA Tour.
Can I tell you something? Okay, I'm going to not react. I want to tell you a thing. I'm not even going to look at you. I want to get your honest reaction. We have a friend of ours whose name is Nate. It's Nate Bargatze. Says he can play, if he continues to practice hard, he can play on the senior tour.
I can believe that.
No way! There's professional golfers now his age.
On the senior tour, though.
Yeah, but he thinks he won't get worse with age, and all the professional golfers will get worse with age.
Well, he'll keep getting better, but those golfers may continue to be in the PGA.
Up until
he's
50.
Also very good. I mean, that's the thing with golf.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
So much of it is mental. Same with tennis. Once you have the skill set, it's just about not fucking up. I don't know what his mental handicap is. I mean, he's mentally handicapped for sure.
He is mentally handicapped.
I've heard him try to read aloud, but I'm just kidding, Nate.
Cut that out, please. The part about him just kidding. Cut that out. Thank you.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen him play, but he plays with Jason Day. I mean, he's getting lessons, whatever.
He's not. On the 16th hole, that match is decided.
But I think a lot of people maybe don't play on the senior tour.
Right, that could be. I think they
it's
play
not like
for a few
everybody
years.
Everybody that plays just goes to the senior tour.
Yeah, but all the ones who do play, they play for a few years, and then they continue getting worse, and like, well, now I can't even compete on the senior tour.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I assume he's thought more about it.
He's not the first guy. Court McCown also said that. I can play on the senior tour. Because you're like, well, I have a 3 handicap, but it's like you're 41, and the seniors are 50.
Hmm. I don't know.
Well, good answer.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I don't know enough about it to be like, ha ha ha, that's hilarious. What an idiot!
Yeah.
If he had said a sport that's not golf, an endurance sport, if he was like tennis or right. You know, football, I'd be like, what?
By the way,
I've had this theory for a long time. Maybe not now, I'm old or whatever, but I did feel like if I just put everything
buckle
into
down.
Kicking, place kicking, I think I could kick field goals pretty well.
At the college level, at least.
I mean, like...
There was, I think, Alabama, somebody was like, hey, open tryouts for... Somebody missed 3 field goals and they lost by like 3
right.
Or lost whatever. And he goes, open tryouts. We need a kick. That kicker must have felt so bad. He goes, we're looking for anybody on campus who can kick. Come on down. No questions asked. We'll give you a tryout.
But with like a few months of lessons and then you do whatever exercises and stretches it takes.
Yeah.
Because you look at those kickers, they don't look extraordinarily athletic. Like you look at an inside linebacker, you're like, I can't do that. I'm not able to get
Sebastian
to that
Janikowski
size.
Sebastian Janikowski is the best.
He's like a fat alcoholic.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. Maybe we should try to be kickers. Maybe we should do like a documentary, us trying to be kickers.
Stretching would be a big part of it.
I think so. I stretch quite a bit.
I could do that though. I can stretch every day.
But I can kick a 25-yard field goal. I do it every Thanksgiving. We go up to the field. We kick them. I mean, I miss most of them.
We shot
I don't
a sketch
for
Conan back when he was on the show everybody knows him on. You know, the first one after Leno.
Yes.
And
late night.
Yeah. And so we go down to the Coliseum. And then at the end, they were like, for some dumb thing. Fun sketch. Eddie Pepitone was here. But then at the end, they were like, hey, you guys want to try kicking field goals? We're like, yeah. Nobody could do it.
It's very difficult.
It's harder than you think. Also, you getting at that angle, you got to get it up above people rushing you and trying to like, somebody's coming at you this so fast and you're like, I'm going to kick anyway and make myself prone, just like your leg up.
Well, that's the thing. When I do make a field goal, it's like 11 feet off the ground. Like, it goes like some, it would go into the player's chest. I would kick my center in the back. Speaking of the Coliseum, it's a little toasty in here. You're going to love this.
Huh? Oh, USC. Nice. Where'd you get that?
At the Coliseum.
No way.
I went to a game.
They're so fun. College football games are so fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was the day before my Netflix day. I went to the Clippers game during the afternoon, then we went to the USC-Arizona game.
Nice.
And then I shot a special. It was great.
I'm not allowed to go back to professional basketball, but
really?
I'm banned from the NBA.
What happened? Serious?
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, I figure I'm going to take this conversation away from what we're going to do and into just music.
Oh, great.
How's that sound?
Oh, we should have had, I thought about suggesting Matt Wayne. Do you know Matt Wayne?
A little bit, but not
hilarious
much.
Hilarious guy. He's like the rock and roll guy. You should have him on.
Oh, really?
He's like all day music.
That. Really?
And I thought about saying it, and then I was like, what am I doing? I'm trying to force my hand here.
No, it's fine. It's like, I honestly think like some fun podcast. I think I might go a different direction with this podcast. Like an occasional like, hey, I've got something I want to talk to you about. Specifically, Herpes was a great one. I think that was our first one we did.
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't even know you then.
Real question. No, I did not. Real questions about stuff that I want to know. And then every other one should be like, let's just fuck around and have fun.
Well, this is where I feel weird, because it seems like I'm a crazy music guy, but I have a long discussion. Eventually, it's going to be exposed that I'm not. That's where Matt Wayne is so delightful.
Here's the why. Here's this podcast as always. It's not that you have to be the most knowledgeable. It's just like, oh, you're into music? Cool, let's talk about it.
Ah, I see.
You know?
I dig music.
First concert.
First concert was Pearl Jam. Damn. Pearl Jam and then Smashing Pumpkins back to back. No, it was Smashing Pumpkins first.
What do you mean? Co-headlining?
No. Oh. Like those, I went like a few weeks apart. And I think Smashing Pumpkins was first because I went and saw them and like they just did like... like just kind of that low energy moody thing,
yeah.
And then took like long breaks and just whatever, and then I was like, oh, that was great. And then Pearl Jam just fucking like ripped and played way longer and more energy and more exciting, and it was just so much better.
I love, what is it about some bands that just sit there and play and other people are like, we're gonna put on a fucking show?
Well, it makes the other ones hard to deal with. I mean, yeah. Like, I get shit because people think it's whatever, but like Springsteen and Pearl Jam are my two favorite artists.
And how is Springsteen besides and that last
well his like short. I thought you were farting. Are you leaving?
No, I'm gonna pick up a pen. Note or two.
Well, they're like, they play these like legendary shows. They're unique bands that play a different set list every night. They play 3 hours and shit, these long marathon shows.
Yeah.
Ari left. Oh, no, there's I'm a notebook.
I'm here.
Yeah. The long shows are one definite quality part of it. It's like they play for this many hours. That's a standard.
Well, and you can see they're making up the set list. The set list isn't completely written. They make it up right before. They're changing it up. They're doing some fun covers. And it's these long shows with a lot of energy and not just, hey, you go to see this band. They play these 10 songs. They take a break. They play 2 songs. They leave. It's an 80-minute show.
Right. Yeah, that's not nearly as fun. No. I went to see Korn with Big J. There's yeah. Free tickets, and he knows them. Yeah, he went on tour with them.
I appreciate you specifying that it was free.
You ever get invited to a show? I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, it's only 20. I was like, oh, no, I assumed it was free. And I was, I don't know.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I'm going to see Motley Crue, bro.
I just had a guy talk about he got offered to host a gig, and then they were like, don't worry, we'll chip in for gas. And you're like, no, you don't chip in. You pay.
Paying for gas.
I don't. Yeah. I'm the MC. I don't
chip
pay
at all. And then some.
There's no chip. Yeah. You pay for gas, yeah, and then you buy the meals also and the snacks.
But Korn fucking went for it. And I was like, it's totally not my music, but I was into it.
Yeah, well, live everything is better.
Live everything's
that's
better.
That's the thing with all these artists. You're like, but you don't understand. And every band, even when you listen to their new record, you're like, I don't like this one as much. But then you see it and it's raw and it's live and it's loud and you're like, oh no, this record kicks ass.
What are some of the bands that have won you over live? Go for it. That like we're like, oh, whatever, they're fine or I don't care. And then when you see them live, to me, it was, I don't know if it was that same Bonnaroo, but one of them was like Mumford & Sons, me and Jay, that should not be his band. We're like, I guess we'll check them out. I don't know, they're headlining, may as well check them out. And then 30 minutes in, we're like, this is amazing.
Well, it's amazing how bands, when you go see bands, first of all, you're probably like me. Every opening band I've ever seen, I'm like, this band rules.
No one will be better than them.
I'm getting every album. I go out, I buy the t-shirt because you just see it. You're in the moment. You're like, this is great. Comedy is the same thing, which is a sidebar. It's why I hate specials. I don't watch specials because you're like, no matter how much you like the special, it was 5,000 times better in the room.
Rogan says the best you can do, I like this, best you can do on a special, 60% of the live experience.
Yes. That's exactly. That's best. Even like a special like Bring the Pain or Killing Them
Softly.
You'd
have to get a theater of people around to watch it together.
Right, exactly. It's just a different thing. And same with bands. But it's funny how always you go see the opener is amazing and then you're like, wow. And then the headliner comes out and you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, right, right,
way
right.
Better.
Who's
way
that,
better.
Who's the one
amazing.
From White Reaper? Nude Party? What was it? Something like
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah. I think that was called Nude Party.
They crushed too.
Yeah, they kicked ass.
I really like their shit.
And then I just went and saw... who was the other band? Glove opened. Was it
G Love?
Oh yeah, you weren't there. G Love.
G.
No, it was a band
I
called
hope you're
Glove.
Not saying that.
No. It was Glove and the special sack.
Some sort of sauce Sacky. You get on the side, I think.
No, it was White Reaper again, but this time a band called Glove opened, and they were really fun. And they were cool. But then White Reaper was just way better. But yeah, won me over. It's hard. I mean, every band I've ever seen, I feel like I love.
Have you ever seen the Killers?
No, I haven't.
I mean, yeah. They're real.
I'd like to.
The first time I saw them was at Firefly in Delaware, and they were going on second to last for some reason. I guess it had been just too long since they had put their last album out.
Yeah.
And so they're like, they dropped down one. It might have been Eminem after them or some, I don't know, I forget who it was.
Well, you know, last is the spot. Like, second to last is the second best spot.
I know.
But, oh, all right. You said like it goes in reverse order.
No. You should be last if you're the best. Their fame had dropped down some.
I see.
And it was just like, they crushed so hard. They're like, who's going to follow this? And whoever it was, not that well. You're like, you can't.
Yeah, it's tough. Sometimes I have seen bands. I was at Ohana Fest, which is like Eddie Vedder's festival. And Ray LaMontagne, who I love, he played in between, I forget who the band. It might have been like Dr. Dog.
Yeah.
And then Eddie Vedder was like headlining. And so everyone's there to see Eddie. And it was like Ray LaMontagne is just doing these like
slow,
soft love song. And I really like his music, but like it was full conversation. It was 40,000 people having like open conversation. Wow. And you're just like, you got to have, he's a daytime act.
That's why I like Band of Horses, where I'm like, don't put them on too late. Put them on when you can sit on a picnic blanket and really just chill like way, way away. You don't need to be right up on stage.
This is fun because it's getting me excited for tonight because I'm going to a show. You should blow off your shit and come to the show.
What time's the show?
8 p.m. It's in the city, too. It's at, what's it called? People do comedy there sometimes, right by Union Square. Webster Hall.
Webster Hall. It's a good one.
Yes. You should come. Two bands.
Who is it?
Delta Spirit, Deer Tick. Fuck Chappelle. It's a movie. You'll see a movie anytime.
I kind of want to see it at a thing with like everybody there.
In a giant arena?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. When he made that announcement, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go to one of those. And then I'm
going to actually
get tickets. And then,
who are we kidding? It'll probably be fun.
Yeah. They'll all be fun. Muse, you ever seen them live?
No.
They're a live band.
I don't know Muse.
Have you ever seen a band, let's go the other way, who was like, you like them and you see them live and you're like,
Well, there's some band, like again, I'm going to get shit for being a homo, but I love Ryan Adams and he's great. His music is great.
Yeah.
There's different strokes for different times. Sometimes I'm driving in the car, I want to listen to some sad bastard music and he's fantastic, but I had to stop going to see him because it's just, he's a cunt. He's a cunt of a guy.
One time
he snapped because someone was taking photos and he's like, I'm epileptic, man, or whatever the fuck that's called. And he's like, you can't do it. All right. You just can't. He's just like this snap thing. And then I saw him in Central Park. And this, I learned a big lesson that I got to do with comedy too.
Never meet a hero.
No. Where he kept shitting on the crowd. And we're like, I don't know what you want us to do. Like, we're here. He's like, yeah, this is a lively group. This is going great. And he did it after every song. He's like, feel free to move around a little. And you're like, well, you're not
Make us. You're the conductor. I hate that. Like, come on, you guys got to get up. Like, then play more upbeat songs.
It was just like, he kept doing it between every song. And it actually shamed me. I actually felt like, shit, I would disappoint
the
him.
Fucking
I don't know.
Flaming lips to that a little bit. It's like, come on, you guys, you got to get into it. And it was like, and then immediately goes, everyone you love will die. And you're like, why are we going to jump to this?
Yeah, you're just like, I don't know, you're losing me. By the way, I'm getting to an age where I'm like, I hate these standing shows. I go to all rock shows.
Yeah.
You just stand, I need a seat. I'm old. You're older than me. Like, I got plantar fasciitis. My knee hurts. I'm like stretching. I'm like, this would be 100% better if I could sit in between songs.
I do love a standing show because you want to be able to move around. I do hate getting bumped in the back by some fucking drunk. You didn't care for it.
I think you oversteeped. Is this, the bag still in there?
No, it's way gone.
What is it then? What kind of tea is that?
It's like, it's chai and green tea.
Oh.
That's the earthy taste. You weren't expecting it. You'll never like it now. You weren't expecting it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hate these combinations.
Blah. Yeah, what is that with like, yeah, come on, get into it. It's like, you gotta do it. The musician's gotta do it. Because I've seen bands kill and it's like, they didn't say, come on.
Well, that's the thing. It's Ryan Adams. I'm like, well, you're sad bastard music. Like, what do you want us to do? There's not like...
I'm not going to fucking...
Yeah, it's not single. Oh, that was another thing he did. He sang the Carolina. What's that song?
Carolina.
Oh, my sweet Carolina. Which is a wonderful song. But he's like, yeah, this song, I got to tell you, the intro was like, it's bullshit. I never even remember being to Carolina. I just made it up. I've never even been there.
He said that?
Yeah, and you're like,
not now.
Well, what are you doing?
Now.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, it's all bullshit. I don't know. I don't care. It's stuck. And I was like, I
can't. I've seen comics do that too, where they like give on a joke tour. Like, that was dumb. You're like, well, you were just fucking said it.
Yeah.
Don't say it then.
Yeah.
A riff. Like, it was a prepared thing.
I'm trying to think of who else.
That has no ending. Like, hide it a little bit.
I know.
It's not a fucking workout set. I get it if you're just like working out, but like you're charging tickets to see you when you're like, oh, that has no ending.
Right.
Well, get one, dude. Yeah. I just gave you $25.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else I saw. I mean, most music you go, you see, and you're like, "Oh, that was fun."
Yeah,
you know.
Where are you going to be in December, by the way? May as well do it in the middle instead of losing it.
December? Oh, like working? December 1st, Hilarities, one night only,
wow.
Cleveland.
Why?
Just the one night. I'm in between Louis dates. He's doing Royal Oak and then Cleveland, some theater, Agora Theater. And then December 22nd, Houston, one night only. That's a secret group right before Christmas. Come to that. And I'm finally selling tickets, so get tickets early, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I feel like... Like, now that you've turned the corner with your ticket sales, you will sell out in advance. My fans are all stoners who try to show up, like, day of to, like, a big premiere, like Star Wars.
Well, it's funny. I've never experienced this, but I had people emailing me being like, hey, your show sold out. Can I buy 3 tickets off of you? I'm like, you think I have tickets to my own show?
I feel like what does that a mean? Jew would be able to, like, Gilbert Gottfried type would be able to be like, yes, I do get 10 comps. I can sell you them.
Well, a theater, a big venue. This is at Zany's. Yeah. Like, a big venue, there are always tickets. They release tickets, which I was blown away by. Only when I started hanging out with Louis and, like, Mike Berkowitz, who's, like, a super agent.
They didn't have to. So they say sold out. I'm like, hey, we just found some.
There's always tickets because it's for celebrity people, big people, they always reserve, like, if Paul McCartney emails Bruce Springsteen the day of the show and goes, hey, can I get 2 seats for my parents?
Like, no, there's no seats.
They're going to be like, yes. So there are always seats.
We did that secret group, actually. Me and Shane and Norman went up there, and then I was like, hey, somebody's asking for 2 tickets. And the guy's like, no, there's 200 seats, and they're all accounted for.
Right. Like, that's what I had at Zany's.
They can stand in the Hope a no-show happens.
We had that at Zany's. I'm like, I asked.
Oh,
I was like,
Zany's, you can forget that.
There's 140 seats, and I asked the guy, I was like, is there any way? He's like, no, it's sold out. And I was like, so there's no way? He's like, yeah. Where would they go? There's
like,
no place.
What didn't you understand? So, like, no, you're right. Also, it's like you can't even stand there and watch the opener. There's like,
no,
you're always,
there's
in,
no
the
place to stand.
You're always,
yeah,
in the way. You're always looking behind you.
It's rough.
I love that fucking room.
It's a great room. Your picture's up 3 different places.
No, really?
Yeah, it's annoying. It's stupid. You're the
stupid.
Ugliest comic and you have the most photos. I don't get it.
Maybe it's to make everyone else feel good about themselves.
But then, yeah, I went to the back of the room and there was like, you try to like peek in to watch and there's just 2 guys like, hey. What's up, man?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How you doing?
Oh,
I'm like, shut up.
Shut up.
I'm like, quiet. The fucking
oh, yeah. By the
show's
bathroom,
happening.
Like, oh, you're going up. You know I'm going up. Be quiet.
Sorry, I was just checking the time.
5 is your live show. Okay, so that's going to be in December. That's
but we
it.
Gotta
2
eat.
Shows.
We're going to eat, right? Something?
Oh, yeah, we should eat something for sure.
We'll go to Crypt Dog.
Okay.
I was
Been
just
forever.
Watching the Anthony Bourdain movie.
About Crypt Dog? I saw it too.
And he's
movie.
In Crypt Dog. There's a whole scene in Crypt Dog.
I do like that he was like, I love the arc of Anthony Bourdain, because I didn't really know anything about him.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And I always saw him as like a travel eater, you know, like a chef.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, his first book was about the chef world. And then he was like, hey, I had a complete spirit walk and I don't want to do any of that anymore. So I'll do a little food shit. I'll just try stuff. But it's more about like, look, I'm in Myanmar.
Yeah, it was fascinating. And I really enjoyed it. He's an enjoyable guy. But I always was concerned about him. Because he's a guy that was like a heroin addict.
Yeah.
Quit, but then continued to drink beer.
Oh, really?
Which always made me think like, well, something hasn't been solved here.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Am I crazy about that?
I don't know.
Maybe
I
that's
met
just
some
my
people,
like.
I've met some people like that from shows.
It's just my.
It's just
Heroin's
so chemically addictive.
Right. I'm not comparing alcohol to heroin. It just feels like I'm worried. I'm like, you're not fully
sober.
Well,
I get what you're saying, but also I really think it is like, hey, we're all partying tonight, and it's like, okay, cool, we're all drinking, yeah, I'll drink. And somebody's like, want some heroin? It's like, you guys doing it? All right, I'll try. And then it's like, I can't stop forever. It's not about bearing the thing. It's like the inability to stop that one drug.
Right. No, I just mean I for mentally, and obviously he proved to be mentally unwell. I'm not being like I told you so, but it's like oh, he couldn't have been.
Don't you think some people need
fully
to release?
Well.
How do you feel about the pothead AA people?
Well, they're not in AA. They just say they're sober.
Sober, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little still. It's whatever. I mean, I don't care. They're doing whatever they do. But I get frustrated when people say they're sober and then they smoke. I'm like, well, you're not sober. You don't drink alcohol.
Right.
But there's nothing sober about weed.
Right.
I know that from experience. Like when I quit drinking, I'd be like, I'll still smoke weed. And then you're like, and I'm like, I'm out of my fucking mind.
Yeah.
There's not, I'm not.
I also smoke weed and I know it's not sober.
Yeah, you wouldn't describe it as sober.
I've had to tell agents and managers like, hey, actually, this conversation seems like it needs more of my attention. I'm too high for it. I thought you were going to say hi.
I'm like, what? Like, I'm like in the middle of a sentence and I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about actually. But yeah, I don't care. People do whatever they want to do. But if people are in AA smoking pot, that's they're not
in the meeting
doing it right.
That'd be wild.
By the way, I went to I'm trying not to. I don't want to talk too much about AA. People get upset with you, but I went to a like a black meeting in Chicago.
That's fun.
It was fun. I want to do a sketch because, like, I was, you know, you share and everyone's like this, and like my, I noticed my energy going up, and I was like, it, I felt like Frank Drebin when he calls strike one, the crowd goes crazy, and he starts doing like the thing. By the end, I was like, and I can't be drinking. Like, I mean, they were like, oh yeah, praise God. It was really fun. I was like, yeah, this is all right.
Yeah, I would like to go AA for that, or Irish, or Australian.
Well, you can just go to
naturally funnier.
You could just go to black church too.
That could be fun too.
We should do it.
Let's go to black church.
Yeah, it might be fun.
I feel like we'd stick out more. Like they would.
Well, they're gonna think we're shooters now because of that fucking idiot.
Oh, I was planning on bringing a gun too, just in case. Maybe it's a bad idea.
I'm not laughing or smiling at that.
Carl Riddleton.
What?
Carl Riddleton. He's in the news all over.
Kyle Rittenhouse. That's a different guy. Dylan Roof was the church guy.
Oh, and who's Carl Riddleton?
I think he's like a billionaire that lives on the Gold Coast of Long Island.
Let's get back to music.
Yes.
What are some of your fucking favorite shows?
Favorite show? I mean, it's, you know, whatever. It's annoying, but they're all Pearl Jam shows, a lot of them. I mean, Pearl Jam, Night One, 03 at the Garden, and it's a DVD. You can go get it live at the Garden. Ben Harper came out, and then the Buzzcocks came out. That was killer. Oh, here's a show. This is a good conversation piece. I saw John Mellencamp on September 13th, 2001.
That show went on?
That was incredible. Yeah, back then, everything just... Well, I guess
the ground,
not everything,
because
baseball, sports didn't happen. But yeah, it was 2 days later. But it's weird because sports didn't happen because it felt like we shouldn't be doing sports. Or whatever. But... Yeah, it happened. September 13, 2001, Wallflowers.
There was a lot of like they're going to attack sports next. They're going to like get anywhere into it. My favorite was the studios and the William Morris offices are going to be attacked. Like, get over yourselves.
That's hilarious. Well, LaGuardia was scared because the planes kept going over and shit. But no, I saw it. It was 2 days after 9/11, and it was an incredible experience because nobody had left their houses. Everyone was just watching the news all day, every day. And John Mellencamp is like such a perfect artist because he played Pink Houses. So, and he never mentioned it. He didn't try to do any shit. He said nothing.
He just didn't even get into it.
Nothing. And he played, first of all, Wallflowers opened and they closed with We Won't Get Fooled Again, which felt like at the time, like, yeah, we're not going to get fooled again.
And like, then, no, we weren't fooled.
And totally we were. But that was exciting. And then John Mellencamp played Pink Houses, so it was like, ain't that America? And everybody had the little gay flags. And I remember one guy like marching down the aisle with like
a,
ain't that America? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Little Pink Houses for you and me.
Oh,
something to say, baby. And then he plays,
I didn't even know that wasn't him.
You know, Jack and Diane and then Small Town and all that shit. It's just so Americana. I mean, like, but Pink Houses, like, people were going nuts. And then ROCK in the USA. I mean, I Fight Authority, all that shit. I mean, he kicks ass.
I could see like Arab people crowd surfing and they just push it right out the door all the way back and close it.
But it was just fun. And like everybody was in the spirit singing along. And it was such a release. It was like, I mean, I was like crying. I felt like a little girl. It was such a fun release because concerts, it's like you factor in all the other stuff of what's going on in your life too. My 21st birthday, my wife just left me, my father's gay, whatever it is.
Yeah,
but post 9/11 Mellencamp was like an amazing experience.
It's something's to it. Like, so I just went to that Flaming Lips with Sal, and his buddy Joe.
Yeah, he didn't call you.
And it was just like cathartic.
Yeah,
Sal was like, "This is the first music I've seen in 2 years."
Yeah, White Reaper was that for us, I think. Right,
the first one where it's like back, and you're like, yes.
Yes. Oh, no. I went to the Asbury Park Festival, which you guys should come down to sometime on the Jersey Shore. It's so fun. See Here Now. It was great. I love the festival.
About it, you just lose yourself in it. I cry constantly at music.
Pussy.
I know.
I said the F word, but I didn't. I'm improving.
Fuck you?
No. The gay one?
Bait.
I wish this tea didn't suck. Do you have water?
Yeah, I got water. You want some water?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what do we do? Pause or do I talk?
Yeah.
I guess I could yell to you. What are you looking at?
I'm thinking of how do you want to play the pause right here. Should we just pause it or should we?
I can keep talking. They don't care about you. Music. I'll talk about music.
Yeah.
I dig music.
Wait, when you first got converted to a Pearl Jam guy? Because you weren't one, and then you were one.
I guess I wasn't one. Well, Pearl Jam, I mean, when I was a kid, I mean...
like when they were on the radio...
You have to leave to get the water, and then I'll get it. You can listen, and then by the time you're back... Okay. It's funny, you're wearing your Nirvana shirt. I wonder if I'm wearing a band shirt. I often am. No, I'm wearing a Bruins shirt. That's a funny Carmen Lynch joke, which she says... She goes, nobody look. Try to remember what shirt you're wearing right now. It's pretty fun. Anyways, no, Pearl Jam, first I was like a kid when like 10 came out. I remember like being like into Jeremy because it was like a video and you're like, oh, wow, this is cool, fun. Yeah. I like this. But I was like, you know, 10. So I'm like, that's the name of the album. And I was like, this is great. And then Versus, like, I think like Small Town was kind of a hit. And I was like, fun. And then Vitology was like Better Man, which was like a huge hit. And I was like, I love this. And that's when... I got really into Vitology and then live, because that was the age, that was like when I was 12. Yeah, that was when I was 12, when I was starting to really get into music. But at the time, I was like way into Guns N' Roses and then like Billy Joel, whatever like your siblings are listening to.
It's so funny how you eventually go to like your music taste just evolve one day where you're like, oh, that's top 40 or whatever just has been presented to me. And now I have actual my own tastes.
Right, exactly. You know? And then it keeps growing, and then you find these other bands, which is the fun thing about music, because then you're into Pearl Jam, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, they're doing The Clash. Oh, the Ramones. Oh, the Buzzcocks. And then you start going down those roads, and it's so fun. But so then I was got really into Vitology, and then like when I went to, that was in the middle school, 7th, 8th grade, I got really into that, but I was into Live and like Silverchair, maybe that was a little later, but like Toadies, all those bands.
Toadies was good. Possum and, Kingdom, was that it?
Yeah.
God, that was a good album.
Kicks ass. But Nirvana was like the biggest. Cobain died, so that made them the biggest. Everyone was like, Nirvana's the best because he had died. And Unplugged was amazing.
Unplugged was amazing. So was Buddy Muddy Banks of the Wish God, which came out afterwards.
Right. Yeah, that was a little
bit. It's amazing how people get bigger after death.
Yeah, they become...
They get lofted up. Comics have this, too. Like, they were going to be one of the best ones ever. And it's like, they were going to be the ones that didn't get sidetracked by a dumb sitcom.
Right. But then when I went to high school, I went to a regional high school, Whitman-Hanson. I was in Whitman. And then all the Hanson guys I made friends with from the other town, they were Pearl Jam obsessed. So that made me like, oh, okay. So they're the best band. And they're like, yeah, they are. And they were musicians. So I was like, okay. Then I was like, so I was right about this. Then I went back and did a deeper dive on the earlier Verses, which I was like into, but not as super into. And then No Code came out. And that was the first album, like, I remember it was coming out. There was anticipation of like, this is going to come out. And then I was like so into that album. And then I saw them in 96. And that like blew my mind after seeing them and the Pumpkins at the same time and being like, this band is so much better. And that's when you're like, oh, okay, this is the best band. Then I saw them in 98 twice. And then by 2000, that was when I was like, okay, we went to Montreal. We drove up to Montreal. Well, I didn't have enough money, but we went to Montreal to see them. We saw both Boston shows. And then it became like this thing of
at
like
the Garden,
you collect shows.
Not the Garden.
No, 2000 Fenway. That was way before Fenway. Fenway didn't happen until 2016. 2000, it was at Great Woods, which is one of those shed shows, which are like dead now.
What are shed shows?
A shed, like they call them a shed. It's like those outdoor pavilion shows. That was huge in the 90s. Yeah. Everything was pavilion.
Merriweather Post Pavilion was one.
There's like Jones Beach out here, those kind of elevated thing, which I heard they're making a comeback because of COVID.
And
they're a smaller venue.
So and you're out in the sticks, and it's like, who's going to be upset? There's six neighbors here. So.
Well, and most bands now, because music has changed, not most, but a lot of bands can't do arenas and stadiums anymore because you don't have that, like, they're number one in the charts.
Right.
Like, White Reaper's never going to be a stadium band because everything's splintered. So those sheds are coming back because they're like 15,000 people or whatever. Maybe it's 10,000 instead of 18,000 or 40,000. And then like 03, now I'm an adult and I have some money. So I started going, I went to both New York shows. I went to three Boston shows and then it becomes just like a thing. And then they kind of embraced where a band like Grateful Dead, where people collect the live albums. We play rarities. Then they like keep track of, they realize everyone's coming to two nights. Because Pearl Jam's not a band you go see one night. You go, so many of the fans go both nights. So they mix up the set list.
I talked to my neighbor about LCD Sound System. They're coming. And I was like, yeah, I went to Flame List. I got a ticket to LCD. And she was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to four shows. Like, what?
Yeah, it becomes a fun thing. I mean, it becomes this It's so fun when your band is in town and you're like, oh, we're going both nights. It's night one.
I remember them getting upset. Yes, night one. And then you're like, what are they going to do tomorrow?
I remember that, those Garden shows in 03, Pearl Jam. He ended the first show being like, I hope it's all the same people tomorrow night. And you have your ticket and you're like, It is the same.
I hear you. You're talking directly to me.
It's so fun. And you're just like, oh, man, this is the best. And then it becomes a thing. And you meet the people and you see everyone. And it's just, it's thrilling. And you feel like you're a part of it.
Damn. Yeah. What was the battle? Well, first, I remember when, in terms of like live experience or the fan experience, what was the, as someone who does not put up enough Patreons, they were angry that their song had leaked, their remake of
Last Kiss?
Yeah, and they were like, that's not supposed to leak. That was supposed to be just for our fans. Who put that up? And it became a radio hit. And they're like, that wasn't allowed.
Well, they ended up releasing it. It went to Kosovo. They released it as a single, and it was a huge single. But all the proceeds went to, I think it was Kosovo at the time.
Were they still around?
Kosovo. They're a band. They were looking to record an album. They didn't have enough money. I don't know what that was.
We were looking up last night of like Darfur. Remember, like, you were like, we got to stop genocide in Darfur. So we were looking up, is the genocide still going? And the second thing was, is Darfur still a thing?
All that stuff, like Tibet and all those things. You're kind of just like, oh, shit, I hope that worked out.
Did we solve it? Or?
Yeah.
I did a joke about it, how like after Gali Petito, I'm like, I guess Israel and Palestine worked it out because this hiker chick is dead.
Sarah always says that. She's like, is Tibet free? I don't even know.
Just like, they're not popular anymore.
But that was a big thing. I know that.
Yeah, that was like interesting. I was like, wait, it's not supposed to come out, but it's a hit. And they're like, yeah, they didn't want it. They just wanted it to be a gift for the fans. It's a cover, I guess. Well,
I was there the second time they ever played it. They played it. The first time they played it was in Philly in 98. And then a week later, they played it. I don't know if it was a week later. It was a few days. You got to be careful because this nuts that'll be like, it was 2 days.
Okay.
but they played it night two, 98, Great Woods. And it was like exciting. And you're like, oh, fun.
Yeah.
And then it became like this big hit. And then it became like this like schoolgirl radio hit, which is always weird because it's like, woo, and they have like
I love
punk
it.
Songs.
Yeah.
No, it's great. I mean, it's a fun pop song. But yeah, and now I love it because so many people are like, Pearl Jam, are they still around? You're like, yeah, they play baseball stadiums. They're huge.
What was their beef? That wasn't a beef with Nirvana, but it was like Depeche Mode and The Cure, you know, where it was like, or Oasis and Blur, where it was like, you had to be a fan of one or the other.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain didn't like Eddie Vedder. Supposedly they kind of made up a little bit, but he kind of shit on their band. He didn't like their
Were they both
sound
Seattle guys?
Or whatever. Both Seattle, yeah. There was the big four Seattle. Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Nirvana, Pearl Jam. And Eddie Vedder's the only lead singer of any of those bands that's still alive. The other three
Damn.
Are dead.
And they'd probably be like, yeah, right. That's why we didn't like you, fucking loser. Party harder. Get some rage.
Yeah,
get
you're
some
all,
anger.
You're all healthy. Oh, he was very rageful.
Yeah, what was that? Because that's what I remember. I remember being a Nirvana guy, and then it was like, I just wasn't, no one was shoving Pearl Jam down my throat.
Yeah, he just
they were
didn't
on and fine.
Like their band. And then you realize later, and I'll catch you for this, like, Pearl Jam is the better band. I mean, like, Nirvana kicks ass. I love Nirvana, and they're one of my favorite bands ever. But it's a much more simple, I mean, they're not as good lyrically. It's just a much more, like...
Well, they said when Unplugged came out, it made everybody go like, oh, they have melody?
Yeah, no. Again, they're great. It's hard. It's always hard to talk about compare two bands because it sounds like you're shitting on the other band. Like
when
I talk about,
like, right.
The Stones are just so much better than the Beatles, and like you don't talk. You hate the Beatles. You I'm like, I love the Beatles.
Yeah,
just, the Stones are 100 times better. Is all. But anyways, that's why. And then who knows what would have happened with Nirvana? Maybe they would have grown or gotten
everybody
cooler. Flamed or whatever.
They would have got fat. You know, that would have been the saddest thing. It's looking back now, he would have been retired by now anyway. And it's like, I'm glad you didn't get fat. Christian.
Yeah.
Ugh, that would have been terrible. Or just conservative in general. You know, some of those guys from Soundgarden or something would have like weighed in on politics.
Yeah, well, Pearl Jam weighs in on politics a lot, and it's annoying.
Oh, they did it at Bonnaroo, and they were like, it was right after the Orlando
it's a lot.
Happened, and we were all like, we didn't really know about it. We've been at Bonnaroo. And then like, dude, this is a downer moment.
No, it's a lot. It can get rough. And there's times like you throw in a little thing here and there. I get it. It's your show. But sometimes you're just like, oh. And Eddie Vedder, as he's aged, which I get, you get old or whatever. He tries to do like a Springsteen thing where he tells like long story. And you're like, dude, you got to hit us with another tune.
I did to you at what you did at I think Nude Party or White Reaper. I did it at Flaming Lips, where they start talking and just go, rock and roll! <It's> and like, he was like, come on. And that guy, when you did it, the guy was like, yeah, yeah. And he just started playing a song.
It's just
he was
like,
you're right.
It dude, was so great. I'm like, come on. Yeah. And then you also like, send the message through the music.
Through the
write
music.
Write a song about fucking exactly. voting or whatever.
Yeah, this is about that. I Lizzo's that. She just popped, you know, positive with her fucking lyrics.
And I'm not like a shut up and sing guy. Like, sure, I bought the ticket. Like, it's your show, but just make it brief.
Yeah.
Just give me a quick, like, hey, guys, what's going on in fucking Darfur is crazy. And if you can donate money, that would be great. And this politician, he's trying to work on it. So we're voting for him. We think you should vote for him. One, two, three.
Yeah, yeah, quick. We saw the Pixies get back together early on.
Yeah.
And they were like, what do we do next? You think this? Should we? Okay. Yeah, he wants that. That's funny. Yeah. It's like, this is... Talk about this ahead of time.
Yeah. I've seen Pixies a few times. I saw Pixies open for Weezer at Jones Beach, and these kids behind us were shitting on Pixies. And I wanted to like pull a Costanza and be like, fuck you, you piece of shit. You don't know what you're talking about.
That's great. Because they broke up. They didn't keep making music.
Whereas, yeah.
Like, Weezer's so pop now.
They were
great, but it's so pop, which is fine. Enter another stage in your fucking career. But like that cover of... That Toto song, whatever, African song, it's like exactly the same.
I know.
There's just nothing added to it.
It's a little whatever, and then like hip, and it's fine. I like it enough. And like the Beverly Hills thing, you're like, all right. The first record is my favorite album.
I like
album.
Pinkerton.
I love Pinkerton too.
Yeah, I know. The first album also is great.
The first one
Pinkerton
to me
is to my jam, and then even the Green album was like, I'm still down, and then it was like less,
exactly. El Scorcho. Weezer's kind of like Wes Anderson. The first two are the best.
Yeah.
And then the third is also great and very good. And then it starts to be like, all right, I'm still here, but it's not, you're doing a kind of a
Jay
thing.
Has this theory, because they're still having hits. Jay has this theory that like any, at some point a band leaves their like, I'm putting it out phase. And then like, even if they have new music, you're like, it's good for the fans, but there'll never be another huge hit. They're just past that stage of their careers.
Right.
And it's nice when they do put out new music, like Rolling Stones, but it's like, they're never going to have a number one
song. The Stones haven't had like a killer song, like a big hit in 40 years now.
Yeah. But they do put out new music, which is like creative, like, good for you.
Yeah.
But
they
like,
haven't done much new.
Jumpin' Jack Flat. I mean, you're not gonna ever get to that, and that's not your best song. You're never gonna get back to Brown Sugar.
Right. Well, now you can't. You can't talk about eating slave pussy anymore.
I just started watching Always Sunny.
Yeah, I never watched it.
And he just from the start, I dropped it after like season 4 or 5. It's a great show, but like, let me start over. You know, watching my partner and stuff, and it was like, and immediately he's like, no, they said there's nothing from the rafters. And the lady's like, all right. No, she's like, no, a black person said that. It said hanging from the rafters. And I was like, you in no way can you do that now.
That's on the show?
Yeah. It's episode 1 or 2.
It's amazing that it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah,
that,
but he's doing
that,
it. Yeah,
that was
the
like
joke
10
is,
years ago,
no,
15 years
ago.
No, the
black guy said, he's just quoting him, and he's like, you can't quote that.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's
I was like
insane.
Now you can't make a joke about not being able
no,
to quote
I'm uncomfortable
it.
Sitting next to you as you reference it.
Make that, if you can edit that to make that Joe's line, Marissa, somehow, I don't know. Yeah.
I wouldn't even say Narissa. Is that nothing?
It's the N-word. It's not bad. It took me a second. It's not bad. 10 minutes.
More minutes?
More minutes.
Oh, okay.
54.
I'm just checking the time. It's hard because you're like a big phone guy. If I had a watch, I would just do this, but yeah. I have to look at the phone because it's my watch.
5, you got to be at that place, right?
Yeah, but I want to go eat. I want to hang out. I don't know how long we're going.
Smoke a cigar, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Too early.
Maybe.
Yeah, I got these killer ones from Rogan.
I like cigars. Is it? Yeah. I'm trying to cut down a little bit. My throat, I'm gay.
But I was going to smoke a couple in Tampa, and then I got fucking COVID, and I was like, oh, this is probably the wrong time to smoke a cigar.
You know what's great, though? I get, you know, I have anxiety sometimes, and I got reflux. It fucks with my throat. My throat will burn. So I was at Skankfest during the roast, which was like the best night of my life. You
so
hated
fun.
It.
No, I liked it. I just didn't know it was going to be on YouTube later.
I'm praying it gets back on YouTube. It was the best show I've ever done in my life.
On.
Oh, you fantastic. Oh.
Just took me out and refused to talk to me anymore.
That's fair. Yeah, come
it's
around.
Fine. It's fine.
But anyways, I smoked a cigar that night, and then you just like get anxious because it was an anxious situation. I'm like, my throat hurts. It's burning. I'm eating shit. I'm eating nothing but hot sauce. I'm smoking a cigar. I'm going to get esophageal cancer. I came back. I went to my ear, nose, throat doctor, and he's like, yeah, he's like, you're fine. He's like, lay off the hot sauce. He's like, you shouldn't smoke cigars, but whatever. You're going to be fine. He's like, you're not a cancer guy. He's like, I'm not worried about you. He's like, come every couple of years. You had an endoscopy 2 years ago. I'm like, do I need another one? He's like, no.
No. But side note, I would not stop seeing the therapist. that I would continue with.
But he was just like, you're not that guy. Yeah. Like, you're fine. Sometimes, do you ever have that where you're like, forget?
No, you just get a scratchy throat and you're like, oh, shit.
Well, I just have like, it just burns. Yeah, and it goes away, whatever. But do you ever have that where you're like, I mean, you're not as neurotic as me, I guess, but you are a Jew.
Yeah. I'm a classic Jew.
But you're like, I'm like, oh my God, I should see a doctor. I'm dying. And then you go to a doctor and he's like, you don't smoke. You don't do drugs. You don't drink. He's like, you exercise. You walk. You're thin. You have friends. You fuck. You
Why
meditate.
Are you in here?
It's like, you're fine.
You're like, this is the problem with Obamacare. You come in here for every little thing.
Well, I don't have that. I can't afford anything. It's horrible.
You don't have insurance?
Dude, it's infuriating. So I'm doing well. I got some money. So I was like, I'll just pay out of pocket. I don't give a shit. I want insurance.
It's so expensive.
It's so expensive.
For a human to get it for himself.
So I realized I was looking at houses in like the Berkshires. I want to have a house at some point. I would save, instead of having health insurance, bought a house, I would save money.
Wow.
I would save money by having two homes.
How much insurance now? It's like...
like $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, this is okay. This is our silver package.
Yeah. I was going to say 15 grand a year or more, 15 to 20.
Yeah.
It's like, what? And probably nothing will go wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
what if it does, though? You could be out of pocket. I'm like, yeah, but 3 years of that, I'll save up $60,000.
Or I'll do a fundraiser.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always fun. You're popular enough.
I'm like, I got some like really wealthy friends.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. I hope I don't die or lose those friends. But my point is, so I signed up. I went through the whole rigmarole. I was like, I'm going to be a man. I'm fucking manning up. I'm going to get health insurance. $1,500 a month. Did it. They're like, it kicks in. Then the next month, they're like, you didn't pay your bill. You're out.
Oh.
And so I called and I was like, no, I want an auto pay. And they're like, this happens a lot. You missed it. She's like, it's a little tab on the bottom right corner.
Why would you put it there?
And I'm like, what? I thought I did. I want you to take my money.
Yeah.
And they're like, we can't. And I was like, okay, well, re-sign up. You have all my info. Just sign back up.
Here's the worst
we went
part.
Through a half hour. She's like, it's no longer open enrollment. You have to wait till January.
What? This is not like, the first story of this I've heard.
And I'm like, so I want to give you $1,500 a month. And they're like, we can't. We can't take it until another time. But if you had clicked this little fucking
button.
That
we keep way out of the way.
Yes.
Why are there no reminders? Like, we sent you an email to maybe check your spam. Like, why would you send stuff that would go to spam?
It's fucked. And so then I went to the ear, nose, throat doctor. I'm like, whatever. I'll just pay out of pocket. So he scopes my fucking throat, which, by the way, makes the COVID test nothing. Like, I have a tube go up my nose and down my throat. It's like in here.
Ugh.
So COVID test is like a joke. So he does that. He checks it out. I'm in there for 15 minutes. $790. Which you're like, this country sucks. It sucks.
So I went to get my teeth cleaned in Ecuador. I was like, before we leave, let's get some
Ecuador, sorry.
Yeah. And so anyway, she goes, hey, you have some receding gums. And I was like, oh, how many? She goes, almost all of them.
Oh, like, Jesus.
She's like, all right, this quadrant's okay. The middle's bad, the left is bad, the left bottom is bad. The left middle's middle of the road, and the right bottom is bad. And I was like, oh, okay. She goes, yeah, you're too young. You're going to lose your teeth, so you're too young for that. So, like, you need to get – you just scrape the stuff down. You're fine, but you got to get it done.
God, yeah. I hate this.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm going home in, like, 5 days, so, yeah, I'll probably – okay, thank you. I'll do it at home. And she goes, okay. She goes, hey, no offense. You'd be a moron to go back to America to do this procedure.
Oh, God.
She goes, it's going to cost, like, literally, it's going to cost you 10 times as much. And then she was like, and I was like, who would do it here? She goes, I mean, I went to Harvard Medical School. So, like, me and my surgeon here can do it. She goes, like, I'll make room for you. You're nuts if you want to do this at home. It doesn't make any sense. And then we were like, started going like, oh, yeah, that's why people fly to Ecuador and Colombia and shit for.
Right.
Yeah, it sucks here.
Oh, God. Now I'm just thinking about my gums receding.
Damn, I can't believe they kicked you off fucking insurance.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
I want to pay you. And they're like, no.
It reminds me of comedy, early comedy, where you're like, just have me headline. You can rip me off.
Yeah.
Just fuck me over for money. I just want to work.
Eastville never booked me. And I was like, I live literally a block away. I live on 4th back then, 4th between 1st and 2nd. You guys are 4th between 2nd and 3rd. I can see your place. If I get the angle right, I can see your building. And they're like, I don't know.
Yeah, stuff, but that mistake, just not clicking autopay is just like very frustrating.
It's
but whatever.
Very frustrating.
But anyways, maybe I'll buy a house instead.
I mean, yeah. Simone bought a place, 20 grand.
Steve Simone?
Tony Gunner down and less rent than his, less mortgage rent than his.
It's crazy. It's crazy when you look other places, which is another conversation everyone's had. But like my buddy Derek just bought a house in Gig Harbor. It's like not on the water, but it's like in the harbor in Washington, like four bedroom, huge backyard, and then untouched woods behind the yard. Like you can just go explore the woods, and he's paying less money than I am.
But it's so boring next to New York. If it was like, you live in Kansas City, you could live further out from Kansas City and get more for your buck. I'm like, sure, okay. I'll give up Kansas City. But like, New York's awesome.
It's awesome. But yeah, it is. I love New York. I love the clubs. I love the people. I love the parks. But I'm also like,
you're done with it.
There's like homeless people swinging at me when I walk out of the cellar. And you're like, oh, that's fun. And you want a driveway. I got my garage. I have to walk 8 minutes to my garage. I have to drop my car off to somebody.
Twice as much on my garage than my car.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's pluses and minuses. I mean, you get great movie theaters here, which are dying.
Me and Adrian were in Portland, Maine.
Yeah,
and the guy was like, "Hey, you got to come here. Why don't more comics come? You know, you could route it from Boston and make it easy." And I was like, "That's not really the issue. Like, we could fly from anywhere to Portland. It's in the driving days, sure, maybe, but like, we're not driving, so what's it? It's not that much of a difference." He goes, "Yeah, but it's like Portland's amazing. It's got this great food scene, and it's like just really amazing." He kept pushing the food scene to me and Adrian until he left the room, and Adrian's like, "He's talking to New Yorkers." Like the gall.
I get it, but they have lobster up there. No, I get it. I mean, I always have food things like this. Like Buffalo, I always talk about, you go there, they're like, you gotta get the wings. I'm like, well, I can't find them anywhere.
Oh, I can't find Buffalo wings,
it's
you
fucking
say?
Buttery hot wings. We figured it out. I'm glad you came up with it. Thank you. It's a great contribution.
That first place isn't even the best place to get it in Buffalo.
Like, I'm like, we have wings. There's wings everywhere.
That Anchor Bar, right? It sucks. It's fucking non-meaty bones. Fuck off.
Anyways,
I need my Twitter back for hot takes like that. All right, so let's wrap this up about music. By the way, my Tampa shows were rescheduled for February 11th and 12th. Sorry.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Wait, I might be down there. I might be at Key West or something. We should do Key West. It'd be fun. Anyways.
I got Denver the week after. Otherwise, I'd stay longer.
Oh, fun, Denver. Anyways.
How should we wrap this up about music?
I dig music.
Bands that you're looking forward to seeing, that you, what, who you saw you never saw. I got one that you saw that I didn't, that I'm sorry I never get a chance to see, is Tom Petty. Thomas.
Oh yeah, you were supposed Petronius. To come. What happened? What happened to that?
What did happen to that? I had to go you somewhere had for something. Like I couldn't
something
get out of it.
Family thing or something? Some bullshit.
It might have been that, because
it
was
Tom
like
Petty a few times.
Yeah, maybe a funeral or something, or it couldn't have been a bar mitzvah. I would have been like, no, and I would have known about it.
I don't know. It ruled, though. I saw them a bunch of times, and they were fucking great. And then it made me sad hearing Wallflowers cover them, because you're just like hearing that music live.
Yeah.
You're like, yes, this fucking rule. And you're like, oh, I can never do it again.
So many fucking hits.
Yeah, just
so many great songs.
The best. I heard somebody compare Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers to Blue Jeans. It's like, everybody gets it. Everybody likes it. Comfy, the best. Just a complete standard. Someone's calling me. Michael Suarez.
Nobody raves about Tom Petty, too. I mean, when his name comes up, yeah, but no one's like, that's my guy.
Yeah, it feels like people forget him when they name their bands. Like, I like this band, that band, this band. Yeah. Like, what about, you don't like Tom Petty? And they're like, oh, yeah, he's my favorite.
It hit me hard when he died. I was like, fuck, so I'm never going to get a chance to see him.
Yeah, that's a bummer. What a fuck up. You're like 75 years old. You were alive for his entire career.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, it was,
that was
a fuck
really
up.
Stupid.
And I could see it coming to him. Like, he's older. Like, I should go. Now I have enough money for a concert, so like,
yeah,
I didn't have it for a while. Do you ever get with music? You ever get to take you back to a specific place and time?
What do you mean? Like you're listening to something?
I hear
of course.
LaGrange by ZZ Top, and I remember going on a street where it was like a side street, like really windy, and I could kick it into third right when it kicks in.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
Like, okay, so that, you know, and that I knew which high school I was going to. So that was 11th or 12th grade.
No, of course. I mean, that's what music does. The most, so many songs. It's like, I can't even think of an example, but so many songs do that. I love finding the music for where you are. Like when I'm in LA, I'll drive through the hills and I'm listening to like Joni Mitchell and Jackson Browne, and it feels so fun when you're driving through the Hollywood
Hills.
You get
that Baltimore song when you're driving through Baltimore on the way south.
Yeah, all that stuff is really fun. If I'm in the Midwest, the country, I'm listening to some like Neil Young or something, and it just feels good. I know he's from Canada. Don't email me.
Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Take Me Home. That song was originally about Massachusetts. Massachusetts. and they wanted to confuse it with the other song, Massachusetts, which changed it to West Virginia.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad he changed. You know, Rocky was supposed to take a dive.
What?
Rocky was supposed to take a dive.
What's that mean? In the movie,
that's,
Rocky?
That's his first script. He was like, I'll take the dive.
Oh.
And then it was funny. The studio for once was right. Like, we probably, you should win. We're all rooting for you.
He doesn't win, though.
What does he get? A draw?
Yeah, no. He loses.
He just takes it to the end.
Yeah. Any tits? No, music can always do that. I find I have a hard time connecting with feelings. This is why I'm in therapy. Yeah. Like, I can connect intellectually, but not emotionally. Like, intellectually, I'm like, it's sad that my dad doesn't call me. It's great that I got to do a special. But emotionally, I never feel it until I get music. Music can put me there.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing.
It really does. It really gets you to, like, yeah, tear up or just fucking, damn, or like, yes. Gets you, like, wild.
Yeah, you can feel those things, and you're like, yeah!
Yeah. When they hit the first two notes of a song that everybody knows, and you're like, oh, it's that one! Even right, though you know right. They were going to play it. It's like, yeah.
No, it's the best. Music's the best. Yeah. Music soothes.
All they got to do is, and you're like,
let's end it on Kenny Loggins.
I couldn't even know who that was. I don't know why that was the first two notes. Engines living in an overdrive.
Highway through the danger zone. I'm gonna take you riding through the danger zone. Yeah, that kicks out. I can't wait for Top Gun 2. Where the fuck is this goddamn film?
I gotta wait for theaters to come back.
Shove it in my ass,
so
for God's
long
sakes.
Ago.
I know.
Oh.
I'm dying for that thing.
Yeah, I'd go to that in theaters.
You know whose guitarist wrote the Top Gun theme?
Who
I just saw live?
Tom Petty.
No.
Damn it.
Billy Idol, his guitarist, Steve something.
Really?
Yeah, and in the middle of the show, Billy Idol, by the way, I just saw live on the beach. Go Rock. See Billy Idol.
Crushes,
it
right?
Kicked ass. I mean, it ruled. And in the middle, they were like...
The guy plays it? He gives him a
solo?
Yeah,
he plays it. Yeah, it's killer. He wrote it, too. I didn't realize that. Wow. Steve something. He fucking rips. But Billy Idol ripped.
White Wedding is one of the best all-time songs ever.
Oh, it fucking ruled. Moni Moni. And, oh, God, it was awesome. Fucking killer show.
Damn.
Yeah, we got to go see Billy Idol when he comes around.
Okay.
I come around.
The problem is weekday shows. At least we're in New York, though.
I know. I want every band to play on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Tuesdays, you Tuesday. Could be like, hey, Patrick, you know, I said I could do Tuesday in 3 weeks. I can't.
Yeah.
Be like, all right, no harm done. You can't cancel on fucking, you know, the Phoenix.
My band is in
Stand
town.
Up Live, where I'm going to be in January. All right, bud.
This is great. Fun.
Everybody listen to Tuesday's Stories and Mindful Metal Jacket, and the movie podcast is called
Joe what? And Ron on Talk Movies.
Joe and Ron Talk Movies. I'll say it in the intro also.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rock on. Well, there's a young man. T-shirt, a list to rock and roll station. He's got a greasy hair, greasy smile. He says, Lord, this must be my destination. Cause he told me when I was younger, said, boy, you're gonna be president. But just like everything else, those old crazy dreams kinda came away.
Guys, that's the episode. That is the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much for 3chi.com. Bleep that out if it's the YouTube. And also liquidiv.com. Don't forget, use promo code SKEPTIC at checkout. 25% off your order or get it at walmart.com. Yeah, that's the episode. I do like Pearl Jam. Don't get me wrong. I do like Pearl Jam. I want to go out. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, please subscribe there. I want to go out with playing yourself, dance yourself clean. And I'm hoping you listen to this either alone in your car or alone in your apartment or house. And I want you to fucking crank it. And I want you just to listen to the whole thing. And if you don't fucking dance at the drop point, Justin, I don't know what to tell you. I was going to play some other songs. I don't know what to tell you. Hopefully you're in a good mood. Just listen to that song. Put away your phone. Just listen to that song. Pace up and down. And then when it comes, if you're not going to fucking... You should have seen me, dude, once I was on the malls. This guy's in front of me. He's turned around a little annoyed, but it was like, dude, I got no choice. I fucking jump on you, you know? I can't control myself. So you just put your hand on the shoulder. I'm like, hey, thanks. Anyone you step on their feet, afterwards, you'd be like, hey, sorry about that. They'd be like, nah, no, cool. No big deal. But when Dan left and I was dancing by myself, holding on to that railing and just fucking jumping, I stepped on a fucking hard foot. And I told some girl, like, hey, sorry about that. She goes, I was vibing just like you were, because that's what you do. You know what I heard? You know what somebody said once? They said he plays the flute. He plays the audience like a musician plays the flute. He plays us like he plays a flute. You know who said that? You know who said that? He plays the audience. He's talking about the lead singer of LCD Sound System. Like a flute. Some redhead guy. I was walking out. There's too many people trying to get Ubers at the same time. So I walked like a few blocks away. Some redhead guy said that. He was fucked up. But he was right. He did play us like a flute. Let him play you like a flute. Sounds too sexual. Guys, I'm done. I'm excited that I'm done. I just finished my fucking Wilbur show. Wilbur Theater. What a fucking good time it was. I love doing stand-up comedy. Come see me in San Antonio. December 16th through the 18th. Come see me in Denver for sure. Get tickets right now. February 17th through the 20th. March at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City is sold out. I'm Ari Shaffir. This has been Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 451. Can't wait for you guys to see Joe List's special in March. I think it's in March. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 451. Nirvana is my Pearl Jam. For Joe List, I'm Ari Shaffir. Saying so long.
Hey, little sister, what have you done? Hey, little sister, who's the only one? Hey, little sister, who's your Superman? Hey, little sister, who's the one you want? Hey, little sister, shotgun. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Hey, little sister, who is it you're with? Hey, little sister, what's your vice wish? Hey, little sister, shotgun, oh yeah. Hey, little sister, who's your Superman? Hey, little sister, shotgun. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Day to start again.
anywhere in this wooden world. There is nothing safe in this world. And there's nothing sure in this world. And there's nothing pure in this world. Look for something left in this world.
Present.